Fireball Brady. Can't stop the signal.
We're an accident looking for a place to happen.
Welcome to Fireball Brady, episode 7. It is December 18th. It is 4:04 in the afternoon. This is Chris Brady and...
Handsome John.
And we're here to talk about a few things that have irked me in the last few weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will be my first counseling session.
First of all, we're going to talk about the Seattle Times. Not the Seattle PI, not the Tacoma News Tribune, not the Puget Sound Journal. No, the Seattle Times. John, you were going to say something moments ago about the Seattle Times that spawned this whole incident.
The Times. The only good thing in the Times is the comics. That's the only thing worth reading. I read those online, and that's it. The
they
Times.
Do. Don't they have Get Fuzzy?
Yeah.
That's great. That go read comic. Get Fuzzy. It's hilarious.
It, I guess it fits the stereotypical Seattleite well enough to the T, but it so pushes the we love everybody except the people we don't agenda that seems to be so dominant in Seattle. You know, we love you unless of course you offend us by being anything other than exactly what we are.
Here's my issue with the Times. What happened this last week that was huge, historical, something that we will remember forever? The voting that happened in Iraq.
Oh, yeah. Not a thing about it in the Times.
Well, no, it was in the Times. But on the day in question, if you looked at all the Seattle papers on that Thursday, which is being called Purple Finger Thursday.
Why?
Because when the Iraqis vote to make sure they don't come and vote again, they dip their fingers in indelible purple ink.
Oh, that explains a couple of pictures I saw.
Well, on Thursday, you could pick up the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And on the front page, it talks about historic Iraqi voting. You could pick up the Everett Herald. You could pick up any newspaper that you could get around here. The New York frickin' Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Weekly World News with the Garth Brooks Juice Tiger Diet. You could pick them all up, and they were going to talk on the front page about a very historic occasion.
Sure.
And on the front page of the Seattle Times, God bless them, they're worried about polar bears who are drowning.
See, that's exactly it. That's what that's part of
polar bears drowning.
That's part of my big pet peeve.
Drowning polar bears. Nothing's cuter than a drowned polar bear, I'm thinking.
Blug, blug, blug. The thing is honestly, the Times is so violently anti-Bush, anti-Republican, that they can't publish something like that. I honestly believe it would probably send a lot of the reporters there into heart palpitations and cause massive deaths. They can't do it.
Massive deaths. Good.
They'll never put anything in there that says maybe. Okay, yeah. You know, I mean, one of the big headlines they did have was Bush admits going to war on faulty intelligence. He admits error. You know,
this is
and
great.
The thing is, they took what he had to say out of context. Yes, okay, the intelligence was faulty. I'm not going to dispute that. Here's why the intelligence was faulty. Because, oh, I don't know, 4 years ago, the Israelis went in there and destroyed all his weapons of mass destruction.
Well, that and the Israelis have documents, well, not that they were willing to divulge to us right now, but I'm sure it'll come out. They show where, you know, 6 weeks before we invaded Iraq, an awful lot of convoys were moving from Iraq to Syria.
Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt that Syria right now is one of the most, you know, largest caches of stuff to work on weapons of mass destruction and chemical weapons, biological warfare agents.
Well, I talked to a guy I used to work with. He was there. I worked with him about the time that Operation Iraqi Freedom started. And his thing was they will never find weapons of mass destruction. He says they're there, but they'll never find them. I said, why is that? And he says, because a sandstorm would come up when he was there in Desert Storm.
And bury a whole city.
His thing was it would come up and they'd park a Humvee outside. They'd come out the next morning, no Humvee. It would take them 3 days to find that Humvee, and they knew where it was.
Well, trust me, I believe it. Look at all the ancient artifacts, the ancient civilizations and cities that have been blown over in the Middle East.
Sure.
That they're finding after thousands of years. With all of our modern technology, they're just now finding some of this stuff. This stuff could be out there and just hidden.
And that's the thing. You know, anyway, it doesn't matter. We're getting off the track.
Absolutely off track.
The Times, they will never publish anything that proves what we're doing could be right.
Needless to say, I will never buy another Seattle Times. I won't buy it. I'm sorry. I can read the Get Fuzzy online because they post it online.
I'll read all their comics online.
And I will never again purchase a Seattle Times. Ever. Period. It's the end of story.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll never buy one.
No, something else I read in the Seattle Times. Oh, I'm pretty sure it was the Seattle Times. A newspaper out of the Seattle area. There was an article on the new movie King Kong done by Peter Jackson, the guy who did Lord of the Rings.
I saw that.
And apparently it was quite good. 3 hours and 40 minutes long.
Something like that. I don't remember. You know, it was ridiculous.
This guy wrote into the Seattle Times. I don't know if it was a reporter. I don't even know his name. It was so stupid. But saying that it's... the movie itself is nothing but an analogy of how the white man has put the black man down. How a black man has taken... how King Kong, who is representing the black man, was taken from his home country in chains and enslaved. And then he essentially... I didn't read the whole article because I was laughing too hard. He basically... My idea, my looks on it, is that he makes it to the top and then he gets shot down by the man. Now, see, to me, you're reading way too much into a story.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if
it's a story about a 40-foot ape.
Yeah. That's like reading into the story, Goodfellas, that it's a story that closely examines the difficulties that are facing prepubescent children today. No.
What?
It's a bunch of... I'm making this
okay,
up, okay?
Okay, I mean,
it's a bunch of gangsters shooting each other. That's all it is,
nothing
okay?
Nothing beats Joe Pesci taking it in the back of the head.
Oh, yeah.
When he thinks he's being made.
Oh, yeah.
He walks in
that
and he goes,
a great scene.
Oh, no. And then you go, pow.
That was a great scene. I saw King Kong. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. And, as far as
you
these
can
guys,
draw those analogies... No, see, now this is where I was going with this. You can draw those analogies with a lot of movies. My personal favorite movie to draw the analogy of the black man being put down by a skinny white guy is...
What?
Dun, 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 da, da, dun, da, da. Ladies and gentlemen, Star Wars. We've got a black guy, Darth Vader. He rises in power. He's loving it. And some skinny white guy comes and kills him. Not directly. First of all, the skinny white guy destroys everything he's worked hard for. Goes in and blows up the Death Star. Now, granted, in the third movie, when the second Death Star is destroyed, it's blown up by a black guy, but I don't know if most of the left-wing community would consider Billy Dee Williams a black guy. I mean, Condoleezza Rice, they don't consider her black. They don't consider Colin Powell black.
They're not considered black because they're not out there screaming, "You owe me something because I'm black!" They're out there going, "Hey, let me work for a living just like everyone else.
Let me earn my way."
I respect Colin Powell.
Oh, so do I.
Condoleezza Rice.
And Clarence Thomas?
Yeah.
He's not black. anyways, my whole thought is that, here we got a black character, Mr. Vader, working his way to the top.
Good old Darth.
Everything gets destroyed, right? But he survives. And then he builds it up again. And they come, the rebels come, and, a skinny white kid chops off his hand. Now, granted, it wasn't the white kid that killed him. Now, this is a spoiler alert for all those who haven't seen Star Wars.
Are there people out there that haven't?
Believe it or not, I've ran into a few.
Are you serious?
But, the Emperor, he ends up being basically killed by the Emperor for all intents and purposes. But here's the problem. The black man makes it to the top because there's and gets destroyed because, a skinny white guy, helps destroy him. And an old white man with lots of property and lots of riches is part of his destruction. Now, that, to me, is a damn fine analogy.
And that's the thing.
If you're going to draw an analogy, stay away from King Kong, for goodness sakes.
And that's, seriously, that's the thing. Like you said, all these people we've mentioned, they're not black because, quite frankly, they think that the NAACP can just go to hell, in my personal opinion, because, quite frankly, they've done fine without it.
We've had this discussion, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, no problem. I'm okay with that. Now, if I want to have the, National Association for the Advancement of White Guys,
with no particular
and there will be yelling and screaming, gnashing of teeth, cats will lie down with dogs, the end of the world cometh nigh. People will yell and scream about a couple white guys setting up a foundation like that, helping poor white guys.
Or that's the thing, is the United Negro Fund?
Yeah.
What if I did that? What if I started the United White Guy Fund? You know, okay, I will send you to college, but only if you're white.
Sounds racist.
But they do it.
Oh, yeah, of course they
do. You know, here's the thing. This is what's great. This is what's great, okay? A couple of white cops are arresting a guy, and I'm not talking Rodney King. I'm talking Everett Police Department, a little north of Seattle, okay? A couple Everett City cops are arresting a guy who legitimately resists arrest. It's on camera from one of their squad cars. He's fighting furiously with these guys. So they subdue him. Okay, good enough. They get brought up on charges for racial profiling. It's a darn good thing that camera was rolling in their car, because if it hadn't been, they would have probably gone to jail.
They would have burned.
But here's the deal. You know what? Here's the deal. Time out. There is currently a black man on trial. I can't remember his name. When he was asked why he killed his victim, he looked the person in the face and goes, "Because I wanted to kill a woman with blonde hair and blue eyes."
And that's not a hate crime.
If that's not a hate crime, then hate crimes don't exist
that
anymore.
That brings me to my second point, hate crimes. We're touching a little bit of everything here today, trying to spark as many political fires as I can. Hate crimes should not exist. In my eyes, if I could make one law, one piece of legislation and push it through, it would be that no other pieces of legislation or law could be put through unless it could be proven that there was not already something directly addressing or partially addressing that issue.
Ooh, question.
No, wait, hold on. Hate crimes are a perfect example.
Sure.
John, if I decide to pull out my gun, of which I have many, and shoot you and kill you, you're a white guy. I just killed you.
Yeah.
I go to jail.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you're a white guy who happens to be gay, don't worry, ladies. Handsome John's as straight as they come. Most of the time.
You know, if you'd quit touching my leg in movie theaters, we'd be a lot better off.
That brings up a whole nother story about movie theaters. Anyway, if he was gay or Jewish or black or Indian or Eskimo or any other ethnic minority of any kind...
That is not white.
That is not white. And I were to shoot him and somebody were to say, well, you're a conservative. You shot him because he's gay. Instantly, it's a hate crime and it's that much worse. I don't care if someone kills me. I don't care why they kill me. I just want to brought up on murder charges.
Amen.
There should not be a rule saying, you know, you're a white guy, you killed a black person, that's obviously a hate crime. Well, what happens if I'm just a malicious white guy and I would have killed any color person that walked through my door?
Or what if there was just any person that walked through your door?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's no different than them trying to change the gun laws, making it harder. New gun laws are supposed to make it harder for convicted felons to get, you know, firearms. Well, wait a minute.
It's easier for them to get them than it is for me.
It's already illegal for them to have it. My idea, and John and I have talked about this, if you're a convicted felon and you're caught with a firearm, 5 to 10 years, period, done, you're over. It's not a question of why you had it. If you're walking around with a gun on you and you get caught by the police...
If a cop walks up and says, "Excuse me, sir, would you mind emptying your pockets? I suspect you just stole that pack of gum." You open, turn your pockets out, and you have a bullet. I don't care if you have a gun. You have one bullet in your pocket.
Is a bullet illegal to have?
It should be. Because quite frankly, if you have a bullet, you have a gun. It may not be on you, but you have a gun.
I can't agree with that because I've carried around way too many bullets. Usually, yes. I was packing something else to
insert the
bullets into.
That's the thing.
But, I mean, you can't. I mean, a guy has 1.45 shell that he's.
I'm not saying 5 to 10 years. I'm saying 5 to 10 days
for something like that.
For something like a bullet. If you're a convicted felon, because here's the thing: if you're a felon, I'm sorry. Okay.
Wait. Whoa. Stop that. Strike that.
No.
If you're a felon, I'm not sorry.
Here's the deal. Now, let me finish my statement before you jump down my throat. If you're a felon, I'm sorry. If you paid your time to, or your debt to society, great. Now you can begin the long process of having your rights restored if you want to. Okay? Because you know what? Quite frankly, you did something very big and very bad. So you forfeit all your rights at the point you made that decision. That was your call. It's your penalty to pay.
Absolutely. You know what? If someone goes through a process of, let's use a white-collar crime first. You get convicted of larceny. You stole a lot of money. You never hurt anybody physically. Okay, you lose your right to carry a firearm. You lose your right to vote. You lose all your rights. You go to jail for 10 years or 5 years or whatever, and you pay your debt to society, quote-unquote, and you get out. No problem. You can apply for all your rights back. Your rights do not all become instantly reinstilled. You have to go through all the process. You have to talk to the judge, do all that, and hire an attorney to get all those back. if you are convicted of a felony, and it is a it's a violent felony, rape, murder, armed robbery, vehicular homicide, I don't care. Anything where somebody else was physically damaged, harmed, or killed, you lose the right to carry a firearm for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Period. We're done. You can get your right back to vote, but it's still, you still got to go through that long process. You still got to go through all the hoops, jump through all the hoops that everybody else would have to jump through to be able to get that right back.
You know, I'll even give you a little bit there. You know, I mean, you get in trouble for vehicular homicide, which personally I think if you kill someone while you're driving drunk, it should be vehicular homicide. Okay.
Is it not?
Nah, it depends. It depends. A lot of times it'll be manslaughter.
No, see, I don't think if you're drunk and you kill somebody while you're driving, manslaughter's not an option.
But here's the deal. Because
you
me
thought
finish.
About drinking, sure. And you drank, and you thought about getting in the car.
Which is ironic, because it's one of those things where if I get drunk and I accidentally shoot someone, say I've got a gun on the coffee table, we're drinking, I'm drunk, I pick it up to show it to you and accidentally shoot you. My bad. Bad choices on my part, absolutely. I'm not trying to
You'll probably do more time than most drunk drivers.
That's right. It takes more decisions to get into the car and start driving down the road than it did to pick up that gun to show it to you. Anyway, that's beside the point. But, you know, obviously guns are much more dangerous than cars. That being
that's a whole nother ball of wax.
That being neither here nor there. Okay.
Pencils are more dangerous.
You get into a situation where that's your case it's vehicular homicide because you were drunk driving. Okay, I don't think you ever need to own a handgun again. However, maybe you are an avid hunter. I think you should be able to apply for special permits to have a hunting rifle.
An AK-47.
No.
Not a Glock 9. Not a 45 semi-automatic Smith & Wesson, a hunting rifle.
Yeah, something like
.30-06, bolt action.
Bolt action, single shot.
I have one of those. And it has there.
And it has to be bright orange, you know, something like that, whatever.
So when you're out in the middle of nowhere and they know that you're a convicted felon, they go, hey, it's a bright orange gun, shoot him! You get in the wrong areas, and, you know, people just don't take too kindly to people who are ex-cons. Now, I understand there are a lot of ex-cons out there who spend their time in jail, become rehabilitated.
Sure.
Fantastic. Here's the deal. The death penalty came up real recently with Tukey Williams, the guy who started
the Crips.
The Crips. What is his first name? Do you remember? Anyways,
funny thing is, I know someone who has a bird named Tukey, which I think is hilarious.
Well, Tukey was the name of the bird of George in the Jungle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Tukey,
okay.
Tukey.
Yeah, that
Anyways,
makes more sense.
Funny that he would name himself that. I'm wondering if Tukey has some street name, that credibility that scares people. Oh, no. Tukey's coming for us. I'm going to piss off all the Crips listening. I don't think the Crips know how to turn on a computer. Anyway.
Oh, no, dude. They're civilized now. They're organized crime.
Wait,
now.
They're civilized?
They're as civilized
They might
as
be computerized. I wouldn't say they're civilized.
They're the replacement for the old Italian mafia. They're now more interested
in... Whoa. Tony Soprano might have something to say about that.
Tony Soprano might, but he's gone now, okay?
Is he gone?
He retired. Anyway.
Well, he made enough off the first few seasons, I guess.
I don't know if he is or not. The point is the Crips made their money as small-time hoods. Now they're big names, and they don't mess with little guys like us anymore. They might get pissed off and be like, if I ever cross paths with those boys, I'm going to hurt them. But they probably won't, because they don't want to endanger a very profitable
and
franchise.
The likelihood of them being up in, you know, the areas that we live is fairly slim. I mean, we have our own little gangbangers running around, the G6 mafia.
And see, those are the guys
that
worry.
Like that.
Those are the guys that worry me, because they're the ones who don't have a whole lot to lose. Guys like the Crips, they've evolved now. Now they're high-end. They don't want to lose what they've got. They've got a very plush lifestyle.
Well, I agree with you, yes. Back to the whole issue of Tukey Williams. Tukey Williams was killed last week. No. He was served justice last week. Yeah. His life was ended on a court order through lethal injection for the murder of four people. Not just four people, one person and an entire family.
Yeah.
There is no family to mourn those people because he killed them all. There were people like Mike Farrell of MASH fame. I love MASH. I love BJ Honeycutt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Mike Farrell. His thought patterns on that just don't... Okay, wait. I probably still like him. He's probably a decent person. His whole thought pattern on the death penalty, I think, is slightly skewed. I personally, I don't like the death penalty. in the fact that so many people go, well, it's not a deterrent to crime. It's not supposed to be a deterrent to crime.
It's to stop you from reoffending.
It is a punishment. If you commit a crime heinous enough to warrant the death penalty, it's not a deterrent. It's a punishment. Justice is being served. He spent 20 years on death row trying to beat that rap with multiple appeals, and it didn't happen.
How many of our taxpayer dollars did that waste, by the way?
I don't even want to think about the amount that we could what we could have done with all that money. Here's the interesting thing. You have people like Mike Farrell, BJ Honeycutt. You have Ed Asner. You know who Ed Asner is?
Name rings a bell, but I can't place a face.
He's been in hundreds of things. He was in Elf most recently, I believe.
Okay.
I believe he played Santa Claus. I might be wrong on that, folks. Don't quote me on that. Check on imdb.com, type in Elf, or type in Ed Asner. He's been in lots of television shows and movies. And I enjoy him as an actor. But he was against this. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg has no say.
Well, it's so funny. He goes, you know, I can't even think about Snoop Dogg trying to be some sort of an influence on children. It scares me. And he, you know, the stuff he espouses in his music, and then he tries to claim that he's a someone people look up to. What's that called?
A role model.
A role model. My grasp on the English language today is slightly impaired.
We're drinking wine.
It's really good wine. By the way, if you're looking for a really good, you know, under $20 bottle of wine, the 2001 and 2002 Woodbridge Cabernet Sauvignon. Excellent.
Which isn't what we're drinking. Whatever we're drinking is coming out of that box over there on the bookshelf. I don't know.
Anyways, okay, Tukey Williams dies. All these people yell and scream about it. How dare the state condone a murder, state-sponsored murder. No, it's not murder. It's not murder. It's
not.
Punishment. It is punishment. It is a justly deserved punishment. Well, he claimed he was innocent. There were witnesses saying otherwise. He claimed he was innocent. There were people saying, well, the witnesses aren't credible. You know what? Four people are still dead.
Mm-hmm.
We got a family mourning one person and a whole other family dead.
Well, Chris, I have to tell you, man, my opinion on the death penalty has changed. We discussed this a little bit last week, so just let me go to the end before you interrupt me. Okay.
Should I pause?
No. I don't think that the death penalty should be carried out anymore. I think there should be no more state executions, period. I think the entire prison system should be converted to a working, for all intents and purposes, a slave class. Because you get nothing except as long as you work, we'll continue feeding you.
Absolutely.
And giving you health care.
I agree.
We'll keep you healthy. Now, if you're in there for life, because that will be the new thing instead of the death sentence, you'll be in there for life. Making license plates, building roads, whatever we have for you to do, making Levi's
breaking
at 3 cents,
big rocks into little rocks, and little rocks into dust.
No, I want them to be productive. Instead
I want them to be productive. Instead
of having
on their days off, I want them to do some real fun stuff.
They get one day off a week, Sunday. You can stay in your cell or you can go to church. Here's the thing: you work 8 hours a day, okay? You work 8 hours a day. And then at the end of your 8 hours, just like me, just like you, just like most of our listeners, I imagine, who are over the age of 20, I'm just picking a random age. At the end of your day, if you're not too dog tired, you can go to school, just like you get to now. Except here's the thing. You're not coming out of there with a law degree. If you don't have a high school education, we'll get you your diploma. We'll get you your diploma because that will help you once you're out. If you want to go a little further, we'll even let you get a 2-year general degree, but you will not have any kind of specialty when you come out, as far as you won't come out as a lawyer or any stupid crap like that. We'll even teach you a skill, because quite frankly, while you're in there, if we need a welder and you're going to learn to weld, whether you want to or not, hey, guess what? When you come out, you have a marketable skill.
Fantastic.
I was taught
You'll
how to
more
weld.
You'll make more money as a welder than you will as a crook, because obviously you're in jail.
I was taught how to weld by the state of Washington, you know? There you go. It's an accredited agency.
How was it?
You know? Shut up. You know? So, no more death penalty. By the time you get to 75 years old and you're dying of whatever you're dying of, hey, guess what? You've had a hard life, and we're going to let you retire now. We're going to keep you doped up on morphine till the day you die. That's it. That is your health plan. That's your retirement package. When the state decides you can't work anymore, then we're going to let you stay in your cell where you can read books. No TV. You can read books. You should have taken advantage of the opportunity to get your education so you could read. Okay? You can read books while you're in your cell, and we'll keep the pain under control. and you can die naturally. End of story.
And this whole idea.
And you know how much money that would save the taxpayers.
Well, especially if they're actually working. I mean, the whole idea of work, physical labor, being construed as cruel and unusual.
Most of us have to do it every day.
I work at least 12 hours every day, 5 days a week. Actually, 6 days a week. One day I only work about 7 hours.
Sure.
But 5 days a week, I'm working minimum of 12 hours.
Yeah.
I get up at 5:30. I'm at work at 6:30. And I'm working till 6:30 to 8 o'clock at night.
Well, tell me about it, dude. I used to move, you know, I used to do a job that required me to move freight, you know, glass. And quite frankly, you know, a semi-truck full of glass, that's some heavy stuff. By the end of your day, you're tired. And
well,
I don't
I'm
feel...
I'm moving those little cornball things they use for packing, the little popcorn deals. Those are really heavy. The big bags weigh like 6 pounds.
Ouch. My point is, I got no sympathy for somebody who committed a crime, and now they work half as hard as I do. Nah.
The whole idea of having them make license plates, though, that's not enough. You press a button, it presses
no.
it down.
And see, that's
it.
What I'm saying, is everybody's all upset.
It should be handcrafted.
Levi Strauss and Company has some little kids overseas somewhere making their pants for, you know, like a buck a pair or something like that. Okay. So here they are, and... We're having them made overseas by these little kids in these sweatshops. And I agree, that's sad. Okay, but here's the deal. Undercut the little kids. The state of Washington will make you all of your pants for 50 cents a pair. Because quite frankly, we got inmates with nothing better to do than learn how to
Absolutely.
Sew.
Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the deal. You're working on a sewing machine, sewing pants.
Yep.
If your pants aren't up to snuff, guess what? You only made half as much as you thought you made. Here's another thing. When you're working full-time...
You get
full-time,
your crust of bread and your glass of water, and that's what you get for dinner.
Here's another thing. You're working full-time. You're a murderer. Mm-hmm. You killed somebody. You took away the life of somebody's son or daughter, mm-hmm. their mother or father, aunt or uncle, cousin, I don't care. As you're working, whatever job you're doing, a percentage, a predetermined percentage of, let's say, 15% of every penny that you make gets sent every month... to that family.
See, I'm going to disagree with you there because it's one of those things where if Joe Smith's son is a gangbanger and so is, you know, so is the guy who kills him, it's an altercation over drugs. He's going up for murder. Hey, I hate to break it to you. I'm sorry your son died. He was into something. That was the hazard of the choices he made. You don't deserve money for that.
The door just opened by itself.
It's your cat. It's right there.
Everybody
know.
Say hi to Yoda. His name's Bad Penny Yoda, always showing up when she's not wanted.
You know, the thing is with that is, or, you know.
I don't know. I like the idea because a large percentage of the people who are convicted of murder and rape and such.
Oh, rapists, absolutely. You commit a rape, yeah, the portion of that goes to that woman. But it's
for the rest
things,
of your life.
Or as long as you're in.
You have a parole officer.
Your
you
cat
are not
likes me.
You're not going to work under the table for someone because every single month, that parole officer, every single week, that parole officer is going to pop in where you're working because they're going to know exactly where you're at for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get your paycheck, the company's going to cut two checks, one to you and 10% of what you would have made. That goes directly to the other person who
sure.
you injured, who you hurt.
And, you know, that's the thing is if you get shot and killed by some idiot who just doesn't like the way you look, then yes, I think your family deserves restitution.
If
for
it's
that.
Over a drug deal, you're right.
But
nobody
yeah,
gets anything.
If you're out there buying dope and you're trying to short the guy by half and he shoots you because it makes him mad, no, I'm sorry. I feel for your family, but they're not owed anything.
But he was such a good boy. He was turning his life around.
This was his last rock, I promise.
You hear that a lot. You hear about these guys who get killed. You hear about these guys who get killed by the cops because they fought the cops and everybody's going, but he was such a good husband and a good father. And yeah, he was high on methamphetamines at the time, but that's a whole other story.
Sure, the cops showed up because he had just beaten up both of his kids and was trying to stab his wife with a knife. But hey, you know, he was a good guy.
I still
guy.
Loved him.
What is wrong with society? You know, I mean, you know, and that's the thing is, it is amazing to me. It's like, I get accused by some of my Republican right wing friends of being a little too left, That shocks me when that happens. It's just like, how do you figure? But then I get accused by the left wing of being so middle of the road. You don't really stand for anything. And it's like, yes, I do. You suck.
Well, it's kind of like when I went to school. I went to a university on the East Coast, a private university, 1 year, and then they kicked me out.
It was called the State of New York. It wasn't really a university. It was a prison. And they didn't kick him out. They paroled him.
Anyways, I was going to this university over on the East Coast in the South. And
New York State prison system. North.
It was in South Carolina.
Oh, and you're right. It was South Carolina State prison system.
And I was considered a flaming liberal there because I came from the West Coast and I had a few different beliefs.
Probably had something to do with those pink pants.
Okay, we're going to just continue on. Forget about the whole analogy I was going to make. One of my nicknames is BAM! Bad Analogy Man. Bad Analogy Man. That went over like a sheep herder at a funeral. What did he just say? It was an analogy. It was a bad one, but damn it, it was an analogy.
You owe a quarter.
Is damn it on the list?
It should be.
I don't have any quarters, and I put $2 in the other day to cover it, and I think that covers 50 cents of it.
Okay.
Anyways.
I think I still owe you a quarter or so.
You're up to about a buck and a half, pal. After the asshole-ish, which I will edit that out, that counted. Matt, I think, owes something, too, because I think he repeated it.
I'll pay the quarter for that one. You can leave that in. Folks.
Anyways, this has been lovely. We're enjoying our wine.
I'm running out of wine.
We're going to have to go get more wine. We're going to go ahead and probably call it a night for tonight. On our next podcast, we did just go see Eon Flux, however they pronounce it.
Hey, I saw King Kong, too.
And we'll discuss both those movies on our next podcast in a little more in-depth than just making fun of the idiot who used the King Kong black man.
Oh, he's trying to keep a brother down!
Damn the man. Save the empire.
Rebel!
Everybody have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year.
Oh, and we're talking about that, too, next time.
Merry Christmas.
People not saying Merry Christmas.
Didn't we talk about that on our last podcast?
I don't think so, but maybe. I'll have to go back and listen to it.
We've complained about it recently, so we'll discuss Christmas, Aeon Flux, King Kong, and one other movie that has yet to be chosen on our next podcast. For tonight, I'd like to wish everybody, again, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and have a wonderful evening. This is Chris.
This is Handsome John. Think when you drink.
And look both ways before you cross the street.
Good night, Gracie.
I'm in over my head.